The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our annual Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, WJJC.net and Whisper951.com in Commerce, Georgia. Now, those two last platforms, which are internet platforms, of course, when you go there, check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, and you can find our archives, which will give you several of the most recent programs, and you can get an idea of where John stands on Bible prophecy as it's being played out in today's world. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. I know they play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. Now, a special Christmas edition from John. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We're so privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This would not have an ending such as described in Scripture had he never been born. And of course, we have discussed many times how Satan made an incursion into this world to try to destroy the bloodline of the Messiah in Genesis 6. But Jesus Christ was born, and he lived a sinless life, and he gave the eternal sacrifice, the eternal penalty for sin was paid on Calvary as he poured out his life blood. So tonight we're going to look back at the birth of our Lord and Savior. Now, to set some context for this, we have to go back to the Old Testament canon. And in Isaiah 7, in verse 14, the Scripture declares, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, in the Hebrew, Emmanuel literally means God with us. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament prophet Micah. And in chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verses 7 and 8. "I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, from now on and forever. And as for you, tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." Now, the Hebrew here is Migdal Eder. And it literally means tower of the flock. It first appears in Genesis 35:21. It was a tower just north of the city of David in Bethlehem, and it is the place where Jacob buried Rachel after she gave birth to Benjamin. In its earliest days, the tower of Migdal Eder was a military structure, in fact. In later years, becoming the tower of the flock, where the Levitical shepherds would inspect the sacrificial lambs. You see, Migdal Eder is the place where the lambs were wrapped in swaddling clothes to be inspected for sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. Those shepherds knew exactly what to expect when the angel said that the baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the lamb's manger. You see, where else would a lamb be born? Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy Steve Amerson.
No proper place, no regal palace to receive a royal birth. God's gift blanket would be his way to reach the earth. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else?
Beautiful way to express the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to go back here for just a moment to the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. Again, this is chapter 5 in verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was the great I Am. The Greek there literally denotes an eternal state of existence without beginning and without end. He is the eternal God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, eternally coexistent from eternity past to eternity future. And it was only because of the sacrifice of Calvary that you are able to enter God's heaven. God himself became flesh. And he grew into a man living a sinless life, and he was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world. Tonight, we're going to look at more closely at this birth and also examine the path that began in Bethlehem and led to Calvary. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against a hard break, and we'll pick this up.
Welcome back to our special Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, and Whisper951.com. You can also hear us at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Now, I know those two platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert and our special Christmas edition. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's difficult to get your mind around the fact that the Creator of the universe came to earth and was born as a man in a stable. But the Lamb of God came to redeem mankind and to pay the penalty, the eternal penalty for sin. He is only your only hope and mine. Let's read about his birth. This is the real Christmas story from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the real Christmas story. And this is a story of a man named Joseph, a father who in the cold Judean hills looked down in a cradle to see his son. And for the first time in human history, he knew that the child did not belong to him, but he belonged to the child, because Jesus came to save him as well. He came to save every man. And I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you might put your trust in him, because there's coming a day when the Lord is going to descend from heaven and remove his church, and those who don't believe will be left behind. 'Twas the night before Christmas, a Christian version. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light on his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just as he said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, it's not there, my head hung in shame. The people whose name had been written in love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who are ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and this sealed my fate. I stood and cried as they rode us out of sight. Oh, if I had only been ready tonight. In the words of the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the only way. And let me declare to you that in the 89th Psalm, in verses 3 and 4, God declares, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed I will establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. It is Jesus Christ who is King of the universe, and he is King of this world. And one day he's coming to take his church, and then he's going to bring judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. And when he comes back at the end of it, he's going to ascend the throne of David on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem forever, and no power on earth can stop it. I pray that you will receive him this very night so as to be saved and pass from death to life. I also wanted to share, because of those who are serving on foreign fields and those who cannot come home this Christmas.
Right.
And for those who have served and the heroes who have fought for this nation and shed life's blood for it. A soldier's Christmas poem. The embers glowed softly, and in their dim light, I gazed around the room, and I cherished the sight. My wife was asleep, her head on my chest, my daughter beside me, angelic in rest. Outside the snow fell, a blanket of white, transforming the yard to a winter delight. The sparkling lights in the tree, I believe, completed the magic that was Christmas Eve. My eyelids were heavy, my breathing was deep. Secure and surrounded by love, I would sleep. In perfect contentment, or so it would seem, so I slumbered, perhaps I started to dream. The sound wasn't loud, and it wasn't too near, but I opened my eye when it tickled my ear. Perhaps just a cough, I didn't quite know, but the sure sound of footsteps outside in the snow. My soul gave a tremble I struggled to hear, and I crept to the door just to see who was near. Standing out in the cold and in the dark of the night, a lone figure stood, his face weary and tight. A soldier, I puzzled, some 20 years old, perhaps a Marine huddled here in the cold. Alone in the dark, he looked up and smiled. Standing watch over me, my wife, and my child. What are you doing? I asked without fear. Come in this moment. It's freezing out here. Put down your pack. Brush the snow from your sleeve. You should be at home on a cold Christmas Eve. For barely a moment, I saw his eyes shift away from the cold and the snow blown in drifts. To the window that danced with a warm fire's delight. Then he sighed and said, it's really all right. I'm out here by choice. I'm here every night. It's my duty to stand at the front of the line that separates you from the darkest of times. No one had to ask or beg or implore me. I'm proud to stand here like my fathers before me. My gramps died at Pearl on a day in December. Then he sighed, that's a Christmas Gramps always remembers. My dad stood his watch in the jungles of Nam, and now it's my turn, and so here I am. I've not seen my own son in more than a while, but my wife sends me pictures. He sure got her smile. Then he bent and he carefully pulled from his bag the red, white, and blue. An American flag. I can live through the cold and being alone, away from my family, my house, and my home. I can stand at my post through the rain and the sleet. I can sleep in a foxhole with little to eat. I can carry the weight of killing another or lay down my life with my sisters and brothers who stand at the front against any and all to ensure for all time that this flag will not fall. So go back inside, he said. Harbor no fright. Your family is waiting, and I'll be all right. But isn't there something I can do? At the least, give you money, I ask, or prepare you a feast. It seems all too little for all that you've done, for being away from your wife and your son. Then his eye welled with a tear that held no regret. just tell us you love us and never forget. To fight for our rights back at home while we're gone. To stand your own watch no matter how long. For when we come home, either standing or dead, to know you remember we fought and we bled is payment enough, and with that we will trust. God bless those who serve and have served this nation with great honor. And I know we're up against a hard break.
All right, we'll take that break. You are listening to the Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to our very special Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM in Commerce, Georgia. You can also get us 365 days a year on the internet at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Both those platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to the Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have been discussing from both the Old Testament canon and the New Testament, Jesus Christ describing his birth, and certainly we know that the New Testament canon declares him to be God. But did you know that Jesus is seen and mentioned in every book of the Bible? Yes, indeed. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus. Did you know that? It's not the God of the Old Testament and then the God of the New Testament. From Genesis to Exodus, Jesus is there as the expression of God's heart. He is the promise that breaks the curse. In Genesis, Jesus is the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the high priest. In Numbers, he is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the city of our refuge. In Joshua, he is the scarlet thread out Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of everything that is broken. And in Esther, he is the Mordecai sitting faithfully at the gate. In Job, he is our redeemer that ever liveth. In Psalms, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. And in the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, it is Jesus that is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. And in Daniel, he is the fourth man in the midst of a fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is my love that is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is our Savior. And in Jonah, he is the great foreign missionary that takes the Word of God into all the world. In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he is the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, he is the redeemer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is our fountain. And in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. He is the name above all names. In Matthew, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Mark, He is the miracle worker. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. And in John, he is the door by which every one of us must enter. In Acts, he is the shining light that appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. In Romans, he is our justified. In 1 Corinthians, our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, our sin bearer. In Galatians, he redeems us from the law. In Ephesians, he is our unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he supplies our every need. And in Colossians, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon coming King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In Philemon, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, it is the Lord who heals the sick. In First and Second Peter, he is the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it is Jesus who has the tenderness of love. In Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000 saints. And in Revelation, he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, the Alpha and Omega, the great I am. And he will rule and reign forever. Maranatha, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we can put our mind or get our mind around what a great sacrifice it was for the Creator to come to earth as a man. Earlier in this episode, I read from Psalm 89, 3 and 4, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Now, when you see this in the Hebrew, it means to pause or pay attention. You better listen to what the scripture is saying. In Matthew 1:1, it declares the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. In Hebrew, in the New Testament, is written Yeshua HaMashiach ben David, the son of Abraham. As you can see, he is found throughout Scripture. Now, please understand, the Bible was written by 44 authors over 1,600 years, and there is absolute theological consistency from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation.
That ought to tell you something.
That's a clue in my business. Only the Holy Ghost, as the Apostle Paul wrote to his understudy Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, that all Scripture is inspired and fit for teaching and reproof. It is literally God-breathed, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, inspired by the Word inspired of God, by the Spirit of God.
That's right. A good way to look at this might be dictated. Remember old dictaphones,
right,
and stuff,
right,
where you would write to your or talk to your secretary and she'd go type stuff up and all that kind,
right,
of thing. Well, the New Testament genealogies of Yeshua HaMashiach, that is Jesus Christ, all identify him as the son of David. It was universally understood from the Tanakh, the Old Testament, excuse me, that the Messiah would be descended from David and that he would restore the Davidic monarchy to its ultimate and most universal expression, even that this king would reign and sit on the throne forever, which he will, and no power on earth can stop it. Why was Yeshua's identification so significant? One reason is that David is the only man in the Bible about whom the Lord said, this is a man after my own heart. Yet we know, well, David's imperfections, shenanigans and so forth, adultery and murder come to mind. So why would God say this about him? Well, could it be that it was David's lifelong love for an abandoned worship of the Lord and also his contrite heart. You can cross-reference Psalm 51. And the depth of his sorrow and repentance, which showed his relationship to be the most important and precious of his life. God's expectation of perfection is not from us. His Son provided that. Yeshua alone is a man whose heart and actions are flawless, but David exemplified a man whose love and respect for God were constant, if imperfect, a man after God's own heart, and that's what he expects from us. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, I will no wise take away. That is the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah chapter 9 declares, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." What a strange way to save the world.
I'm sure he must have been surprised where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why just an ordinary girl? Now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far, and as he held the Savior just a simple man of trade, why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh. Oh. much have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the words. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed our Christmas program this year. I want to close from the Gospel of John, first chapter, first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that is coming to being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shones in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm going to skip to verse 11. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I plead with you this very night that you would confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. What a Christmas present. May the Lord richly bless you, and may you and your families have a blessed and joyous Christmas, and praise the Lord Jesus. He is coming one day soon.
And that's going to be all for our Christmas edition of World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Rob Jordan. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's program. Thanks for listening, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.